Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to MP Industries Limited Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, assumptions, and expectations of future events. The company cannot guarantee that these are accurate or will be realized. The company's actual results, performance, or achievements could thus differ from those projected in any forward-looking statements. The company assumes no responsibility to publicly amend, modify, or revise any such statements on basis of subsequent developments, information, or events. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Parvati Rai from KR Choksi Research. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Rai.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of KR Choksi Research, I welcome you all for the Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of MB Industries Limited. From the management side, we have Mr. Makarand Appalwar, Chairman and Managing Director, Mrs. Rinku Appalwar, Executive Director and CFO, Ms. Maithili Appalwar, CEO of Avaana, and Mr. Yash Punjabi, COO of Avaana. We will begin the call with a brief overview by the management, followed by the Q&A session. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Makarand Appalwar for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Parvati, for a kind introduction, and hello and good day to all the participants on the call. So it's a very interesting year. It's a very interesting milestone which I would like to talk to you today about. So there are two interesting things which have happened in our life here. One is company has completed its 25 years of operation, and second, company has also crossed 500 crore mark in its turnover this year. So both the things were very interesting for us. Both the things really got us many things like knowledge, passion, relationships, I would say the love, affection of our investors, our employees, and the stakeholders in this company. So this year, especially this conference call, is very dear to my heart. And I think I would be probably more talking from the heart side than the mind side during this time. So, of course, all the data and numbers has been circulated to you. So I hope you had a chance to run through it. If you didn't add, because today the time was little short between the presentation was posted and the time of the call. So we are open to your questions even at the later stage. So this year was very interesting. We had a very good growth. The growth was to the tune of around 60% in the revenue, which came from various sectors. And the best part is growth was not dominated by any one particular, I would say, segment of the company's operation. It was overall, every segment has performed very well. So that was one of the best thing to happen. Many a time we have seen that, or you must have seen that, when the top lines grow or companies are in the growth mode, at times bottom lines get challenged or they get compromised. But here the story is little different. We could almost do the 2.5 times improvement in our PAT level also. And ROCE has started moving up towards the 13-14% mark from a previous year's 8%. And that is, I think, one very good sign and symbol that whatever money we are putting it to sweat hard, and we'll ensure that in the future also the same hard work is taken from not only the members of company but also the investment what is being made in the company. Regarding the cash conversion cycle, yes, MBI is initially in the growing stage or in the growth pangs. We have faced a slightly extended cash conversion cycles, where last year our cash conversion cycle was to the tune of 149 day precisely. And where last time I gave a comment that we would be targeting it somewhere between 90 to 100 days, and we made it this end. We are in the 96 day cash conversion cycle. I think that is one of the best in the industry nowadays, what is happening. And that too with the growth of exports Export has grown phenomenally this year, close to 70-odd%. Plus, with that, we are maintaining this kind of a turnaround with the money is one of the very impressive things, I would say. Regarding the overall operation and the thought about the company, I can tell you that right from the day we have been listed and we have been talking to all our investors, I am always telling that the best part of MB will be consistent growth during all the situation, all the odds. So we again want to marry ourselves to that statement. We would like to grow in the coming, see, we would like to double the company in next 5 to 6 years time. And if you see why it is very important and close to this, around 10 years back when there was an IPO, this company was 39 crore company. So in 10 years with your financial backup and your support and the capital market, we raised the money. We brought it from 39 crore to 500 plus crore. And from here, there is no looking back. We are, within next 5 to 6 years, we are sure that we will double the company in all the means. While doing that doubling activity, you must be curious that what are the things which would probably be taking larger share of that growth factors what we are looking at. So we are believing that exports from India would remain very lucrative. FIBC as a sector has a global contribution of 42% by the India and it's still growing. So we are very hopeful that the growth what is going to come, the exports is going to be one of the large contributors. And they, of course, the retail division, which is very close to our heart again from the Havana side, is growing leaps and bounds. And we would be able to generate a very strong brand-driven sales from the Havana side. So when it's Havana, it's not only going to be the sale for MBE, but it is just like lending a brand support to my so many other MSME kind of a companies who are always struggling to kind of create that phase in the local market. So through Havana, we would be able to extend that brand support, create the wonderful level playing, all I would say, positive feed for those guys. And in turn, also MBE and Havana will get benefited. Export this year had a wonderful growth of 73% and contribution of around 63% in the total sales. And the domestic sales was to the tune of 37%. So you should see that exports was growing. And I had been historically always talking about the fungibility of MBE's product lines. So whenever there are difficult times, whenever there is a difficulties in one particular market, we have this ability to swing our productions in whichever way we want. So when there was a COVID major issues 2 years back, we had ability to dispose or create some material within the domestic market and the exports little came down. Again, when there was, we see that export is a better growing as well as better paying market and we have ability to move in there. So we quickly shifted our manufacturing setup so that we can move largely into the export market and got the export share to the 63% in the total turnover. I think this is one of the highest export shares also we have enjoyed in the past. And we intend to maintain similar levels of 60-40 in the coming years. So that is one of the interesting things to happen in the coming time. Apart from this, we are completely focused on getting the best results out of a single every penny we are investing, trying to reduce the possible investment outlays, reduce and keep the outlays to the minimum. Till the time government new scheme in response to the MEIS is not announced, rather the scheme is announced but it's not implemented, we would like to at least on add more money and create a better EBITDA level margins. We are already in the range of around 11.5% odd somewhere, give and take some percentage. So that is the level we like to maintain without the scheme, and every year we would at least struggle to get 50 basis points up on the EBITDA level margin, so that in the coming year when you see that in the 5 years when we double the company, our EBITDA level margin should be around 14% without any external or governmental support. So we are hoping that multiple things are going to happen. We are also very confident about the pond lining business. Recently, our Honorable Prime Minister in Germany has announced a new pond lining or a pond scheme, which I am sure you all must have been excited, so are we. So we are just waiting for that scheme to come in an elaborate way. It's still not, we are not yet got the details of the scheme. So soon, as soon as we get the 50,000 points, which Honorable Prime Minister has announced, we'll definitely create some better market for MB, and we would be able to capitalize some part of that. That's what my hope is. I can't say anything more on that at this juncture because the scheme is yet not available for the viewing. So this is the general commentary about this year, and now I will open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Keshav Garg from CCIPL. Please go ahead.
Sir, many congratulations for good numbers. And sir, I'm assuming that our raw material prices, since they are petrochem derivatives, so they must have gone drastically during this past year. So if you could just give us some idea about what kind of volume growth was there and what kind of realization growth was there.
Volume growth was to the tune of around 30%. Realization growth was the balance around. So it's not only about the raw material which has gone up, but has got given us. So total growth is close to 58.99%, out of which 29.54% came from the volume growth. And the balance came from either value of the raw material going up or value of the product going up because of the kind of a need in the global market or improved product contribution. Either of it, it's a both way, because the contribution of raw material in the product is less than half of it.
Sure. And sir, also, like you just mentioned in your initial comments, that we will strive to increase our operating margins by 0.5% per annum. So, but we are like, for FY22, we are at 11%. And in FY18 and 19, we had already done 14%. So, and I'm assuming that our product mix must have improved favorably during these few years. So in that case, sir, after this COVID disruption is over, now we should start from 14%. But here you are guiding that from 11%, we will increase by 0.5 or 50%.
No, no, sir, 8 points aapka chhoot raha hai. Us samay pe 4% ka NEI support tha, which has been withdrawn by government. No? So that money is gone. So still, so that's what I actually clarified in my ideas, that without NEI support, we'll be back to 14%. And in case the NEIS or RRDOT TEP or ROFATL, whichever is the government scheme which comes in and gets us, that would be up and above that number.
Okay, sir. So basically, right now we are getting no export incentive whatsoever?
No, no. Zero.
So that is really strange that, I mean, this is probably only export that there is no export incentive whatsoever, however small. So anyway,
technically I can say that this is a interest subvention of exporters, which is common to 100% every single exporter in the country. But sector specific yet to be announced. They have announced it yet, but the formal notification has to come. So we are hoping that it will come so soon, that it is in the range of around, I don't know, everything is talked, anything from 2% to 6% people are talking about it. But till the time I don't see the notification in my hand and we don't get the money actually in the bank account, I don't want to comment anything here.
So we will get this, I mean, whenever this is notified, so we'll get it retrospectively for whatever exports we are doing in these past few quarters?
Not really, I don't think so, because most of the time, government is not giving anything retrospectively. It would be from that particular day, on the day of announcement or something like that. Or maybe maximum a month's adjustment or something like that.
Okay, okay. And sir, also wanted to understand that I was just comparing our company's financials with one other listed company, Sri Jagdamba Polymers. It's Gujarat-based. And sir, our product profile is quite similar. But if you see their operating margins, they are operating at anywhere from 20 to 23%. And even their cash conversion cycle is like was 50 days in last financial year. So, I mean, being of roughly the same profile, the same product profile, so how come there is so much of divergence in working capital intensity as well as operating margin?
No, I can't comment that because I have not studied Jagdamba Polymers balance sheet. So, it's comparing how our balance sheet is different from them. It's difficult, but I'll tell our finance department, they will work it out. If you can call us a little later, we'll be able to maybe give you some clarification or I would say guidance on that.
Sure, sure. And sir, lastly, sir, any rough idea you want to give us about the kind of capex that company is likely to or planning to incur over the next 2 years?
Yeah, I think we are not going to be very, very capital intense though. We would be investing anything close to 12 to 15 crores on the annual basis to either de-bottleneck or add some base equipment so that we can go from or move from this. So that is definitely going to be there, certain capex, but not very heavy capex is expected in the, I would say, short term.
Sir, so basically this 12 to 15 crore capex per annum will suffice for us to double our revenue in the next 5 to 6 years?
Yes.
Okay. And sir, any plans to deliver the company?
Any plans to?
Deleverage our balance sheet?
No, I couldn't understand your question. What do you exactly
sir,
mean?
I'm trying to understand that, sir, do we have any plan?
You want to say the leverage, paying the debts off?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do you have any plan?
Yeah. Debt free. So, I really don't feel it is going to be interesting only to pay off the debt because, see, deleveraging is basically can be done by even adding a more value-added, I would say, investment than just simply repaying. Because today the money, what we already borrowed is not very expensive money. 7-8% mein money was already available. So instead of paying back at 7-8% and saving that money, I would like to probably invest in the new activities either in the front end or in whichever back end and earn better margins instead of just cutting the debt because we have enough debt coverage. There is a steady, I would say, ability or to company to repay the debt. So from the banking side, from the financial institute side, we are a very stable company. So, just repaying debt would be a very conservative way of using the cash. I would probably like to use the cash in more creative ways.
Sure, sir. And, sir, our market leader in this whole industry is Garhwal Technical Fiber, sir, where they are into fishing nets and sports nets, etc. So, that company has tremendous margins and return on capital. So, do you foresee that in the next 5 to 10 years, we might be able to transform ourselves to somewhat similar profile in terms of return on capital and margin? Is it possible or are you, or do you have
well, I would not like to comment that we will be like Garhwal or not. But I can tell you that companies do mature with the time. Every company takes its own. We are a first generation company. When you start the company, your responsibilities and your liabilities are different and assets are different. And when the company starts growing with the age, not only with the size, its entire probably financial profile keep on improving and keep on becoming more sounder. So definitely, Garhwal is in basically fifth generation of their manufacturing. So I can say that we have already beaten many other Indian companies within the first generation itself. So yes, we would be going towards betterment now, whether we'll cash or cash hold of Garhwal in next 5 years or no, only time can tell. But I can tell you that we have a thirst or we have a reason to grow because we have the right kind of product, we have right kind of mindset. We don't unnecessarily take any risk with because our money and our investors' money is precious to us. But at the same time, we have delivered on a consistent basis. I must have heard in my initial comments that a company which was 39 crore within 10 years, we brought it to 510 crores. So it's almost 9 times, 900% growth. So we could deliver that kind of a growth in a consistent way, and we will continue to deliver that. So automatically, without doing anything very rash or very aggressively, we can still double your wealth in a very short span of time.
Sure, sir. Very encouraging. And sir, just one last thing, sir. Is there any possibility of reducing our working capital intensivity, especially our inventory days?
I think we have reached a very good level. We are right now, the inventory days are down to 82. So we have to keep, because you know it's a petrochemical derivative and lot of things are very sensitive to the market pressure. So whatever is our order book position, we have to keep that much as a stock in any particular level. So again, being a very non-speculative and straightforward operating company, we like to keep or maintain our inventories to the tune of our order book so that we are never exposed to undue market risk. So we would probably might get it down by another 5-7 days here and there, but I think anything from 60 to 75 days would not be, it will be risky to get it below that. So that is what we are seeing.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much, and I'll rejoin the queue. Best of luck.
Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sarvananand Balakrishnan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for connecting operators. So, the very good results, Makran. So, my question is generally on a broader theme in extension of what the previous person has asked. So, like, largely, if I see, like, last 10 years growth rate, so, like, what I understood is, like, so we constantly require tech for scaling up the operations in general. Like, where I feel like the tech has grown 2.5.
Can you be a little slower, because your voice is very breaking. So I am not able to catch you in totality. So just go slowly so that I can hear you clearly.
Got it. So, so what I understand is, like, if we go back to 2013, like the tech was around 59 odd crores. And like today, if we pass over to 2022, like we have almost like 144 crores of borrowings in our balance sheet. So like the revenue growth in this period and the debt growth is almost like more or less similar. So is there any way like where again like where this portion of like relying on borrowings might again come down, like where again so there is again an increase in the enterprise value is concerned. That is one. And the second part primarily again is on the like the margin pressure, like where again in the SIPC, like largely it's a fragment industry, right? Like where again with limited working capital and a low entry barrier. So usually again like there is again a pricing pressure impact, like which restrict the ramping up of operations. So like where again like do we have any roadmap in terms of like where we'll slightly move on to like high margin products? So that like the cash flows also like goes up, like where again which significantly deleveraging the balance sheet.
Okay, I understood a few of your opinions. I like, I think I would consider these as opinions, not the facts connected to the industry, because I think the things are a little different than what you see. If you see, you know, it's not like a industry per se, automobile. It's a large industry, but certain automobile companies make more money than the other automobile companies, or certain cars or products make better margins than others. The same thing within the FIBC field, there are certain products which are more premium than other run-of-the-mill products. So obviously with the time the company is maturing, they slowly move towards those more matured manufacturing of FIBC. So that happens with the company's age. So and automatically the companies which get the price pressure are the companies which are creating more commoditized or run-of-the-mill products. So that is not happening, or if that would have been happening with the growth, we would not have improved our profit margin, which we just delivered this year itself. Your first question was connected to the borrowing as well as growth. So if you have to see, that entire borrowing remains connected to the money which you have to get from the market and the stock you are holding. So you have to see that the borrowing is not supporting any other activity. Just in order to make the company more stable, as I explained to you that we are in the petrochemical market where volatility is one of the challenges which all of us have to face. So either companies can take a route where they take the volatility or factor in the volatility and say that we would either have some windfall profits or losses, or there are some kind of a companies like our company where we believe that there is no need to have any volatility impact on our operations. Let's earn the money out of the merit. And that is why whenever there is a higher order book, higher, it has to be backed by higher inventory. And where you are backing it by higher inventory, higher capital gets employed. So there is a relationship between the top line and the borrowing, which is going to happen. Of course, the relationship is getting skewed day by day. So simply the last year's cash conversion cycle, which was 149 days, which came down to 96 days, that automatically changes the cash employed. So I think you need to do your math correctly there. So things are changing. Things are a little bit different here. So I would say that this is with, I guess we have been chatting in the past also on this particular topic. So you must have seen cross or stark improvement in all operating cross parameters. With this, we have 1.49 as a current ratio. Our DSCR is like beyond anything. Our debt equity ratio is phenomenally good. So all the ratios are falling in place only with volumes increasing and profit margins getting maintained. So when new, and also there is also substantial R&D spend in the past. Last 1 year we reduced our R&D spend, but a year before that, or rather I would say in last 10 years if you see, we must have spent more than 25 crores as a various R&D spends in machinery, raw material, various things, which has created a fantastic product line for this company. And on that basis, I am so confident that in next 5 years, again, from here, we will be able to double the company. And when doubling the company, it's at least 1.2 times, like 22 times growth in your net worth and other, right? 2.2%.
So at the moment, like, what's the cost of capital?
Cost of capital is exact numbers I would not be able to reveal on call. But if you write us, we will send you an email on the...
Got it. So now let's assume that, like, now since the like cost of capital also is going up, so like again, if that's the case, so like it would make more sense to like sort of again like bring the gearing slightly to a lower level, right? Especially with higher cost, like I also assume that we can't pass on the raw material cost to a drastic extent. When the raw material
If the cost of capital is going up, it is always better to reduce the inventories, because what we are seeing is as the cost of capital is going up, but the crude oil and the crude derivatives are going down. So it might not really impact, because in last 20 days if you see, crude has actually reduced, or even the petrochemical has reduced by more than 9%. So it generally balances out, plus the dollar impact what you are seeing. Like if you see a generally delta of inflation between India and United States, which is roughly, if you see the 10-year data, annually it is close to 4.2-4.3%. So entries, I mean, currency depreciation to that level should not be ruled out. And that also directly, because 63% of my revenue comes from, I would say, foreign currencies. So that net benefit would be there. So I think the cost of funds getting increased might get offsetted by these various other smaller impacts which will be in our favor.
Got it. So you are starting from a foreign exchange standpoint, right? Like where again we are hedging basically.
Yes.
And like what's the hedging policy we have? Like is it 3 months or like 6 months?
I think this hedging policy is kind of, it's more of a business secret, so I can't publicly tell you what is our hedging policy.
Got it. And like you mentioned about doubling the business, right? So like in this part, like what's the type of capital that we again would require, like from greenfield and brownfield standpoint?
So
there are multiple.
The capacity utilization will cross like 90% in next 1 or 2 years. So like I asked from that standpoint, is the demand is looking strongly?
No, I think I will not be able to spell you the entire capital outlay of next 5 years because frankly it's a very dynamic thing. So whether we are going to do it using the external outsourcing mechanism which last couple of years we have been very bullish and it has been very successful, or in case we find some product which has to be very technically secretive and we are going to do it more in the house, that might change a little bit here and there. But I guess what we expect is the company has a sound balance sheet in case even we need to borrow more, we would be able to borrow more. And immediate level, we have no plans to liquidate or liquidate the equity or anything like that. So in the present case, either from the internal accruals or from the borrowing, the growth would be done.
Got it. Makes sense. So I think broadly, that's the main background. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Deepan Shankar from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks a lot for the opportunity, and congrats for a good set of numbers. So firstly, sir, I wanted to understand, in Q4, we have built $1 million kind of export in this UK business in that reclaim. So what kind of growth we are expecting from this business over next 2-3 years?
I think Maithili has been very active in handling the reclaim thing. So I'll let her answer this question.
Sure. So with regard to reclaim, we were just starting the product out. Okay, yeah. We were just starting the product out this year. So we did about 1 million in sales in the last quarter. We are expecting that to ramp up actually. We don't know how much growth will come from that just about yet in the UK market, because we are expecting that a lot of the general FIGC orders that we get that are typically in normal bags will then start shifting into the Reclaim 30 orders. But we are also expecting that because we kind of have a monopoly on this right now from the Indian manufacturers, the ability to create bags like this, that we will see at least a 30-40% growth from the UK market. In addition, we are also looking at similar laws coming into Italy and Spain. So if legislation changes there as well, we do expect to see significant growth from those markets as well.
Okay, so what we need to say is our regular exports to UK, so that will slowly convert more towards reclaim kind of product.
Yeah, so that's actually what we are trying to do, because reclaim is a better margin product, and also like I said, we have a monopoly on reclaim. So we are able to command an extra margin out of that as well. So we are trying to convert even our normal orders into reclaim 30 orders. Also, it's better for the environment because there's 30% of recycled polymer used in it. So overall, we think it's a better product, better margins, and that's why we're trying to move more into that in the UK market.
So can we assume this could be 3-4% higher margins than our normal products?
Yeah, we can assume that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Makranji, this 12 to 15 crore kind of capex every year, so you mentioned, so that will add what kind of capacity additions every year?
No, Dipanji, that is, we are not yet actually, blueprint is not yet created. I have given a ballpark figure because when we have to, it's not necessary that, because now we are coming up with so many new different ways to produce the product. So it will not be only in terms of tonnage which will get added, but there is also going to be a technology where that would earn us more money than just probably adding more tonnage. So we might also see that we create a pilot for the technology plant for right in MB and then get that replicated from some others where the capacity, that's why if you can see, present gross block is close to the 200 crore and in next 5 years, we are talking about, let's say, even at the peak of 75 crore, we are talking of doubling the capacity. That is going to be that skewed. The utilization of the cash is going to be so highly efficient. So let us see, I will not like to reveal the entire plan here because That plan itself is the secret sauce which is going to improve the company's operations in the coming time.
Okay, so that means these basic forms of production we will be looking to outsource, and the technicality of the product we will be retaining within in-house.
Right, as you very rightly pointed.
Okay. And sir, lastly, so if we see the product mix, so earlier we had these standard products and then advanced products, and then now we are doing even reclaim. So this standard product which had a lower margin, so that contribution keeps coming down, so that's how the product mix is improving?
Yes, that contribution keeps on coming down, or the manufacturing of that product within the company definitely goes down. So if those products are getting manufactured outside, so outside products are most of the time cheaper than what we are able to house, because we are specially selecting the companies which are not doing the greatest of the, I would say, things, and we can get similar kind of returns from even those run-of-the-mill products, I would say.
Okay. And lastly, so what kind of run rate we are doing on Pondliners per day now?
So Pondliner is still within the range of around 15 to 16 ponds a day. Because it keeps on changing depending on the type and the state in which we are operating. So it's a stable business. It's growing stably. So that is a very, I would say, it is contributing to the society. At the same time, it is contributing to company, and it is very nicely and stably placed.
Okay, so there we are expecting that to move over next 2-3 years because we have expanded to newer regions also, right? So what kind of run rate we are expecting?
Frankly, because the type of the ponds made in the northern region, that is Haryana or Punjab or Uttar Pradesh, the sizes are so large that now the number of ponds will not only remain the count, so we'll probably start giving you a count in the per square meter, because the ponds are what we made in Uttar Pradesh are almost 10 to 12 times larger than the ponds what we made in Maharashtra. So that run rate numbers probably might not really now remain very relevant in the coming years. So we'll have to readdress it in some other numbers. So we might start giving you either by square meters or number of area or hectares covered or something like that.
Okay. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from CCIPL. Please go ahead.
Sir, wanted to understand, sir, that who would be our major competitors in our various product lines?
Probably in agricultural related products, there are companies like Garvare, somebody pointed out. Or in the packaging, there are multiple companies starting from ITW, Signode, or Amcor, or Drive, or Flexitech, or Kanpur Flexitech. There are multiple companies which we can see either within the country or globally. And regarding the waste recycling, it's all the reclaim side. It's completely new vertical. So probably this is developing the whole new set of business in the coming years. So right now I can't address many other, but might be companies like Ganesha Ecosphere has, who's doing very well in the recycled material, can be a similar tier. I don't say they have similar products, but the operation wise they are doing something similar what they used to do for PET, we used to do for polypropylene.
Sure. And sir, also sir, if you could give us some more information about the efforts you are making to differentiate our product portfolio and how we can increase our realization of our products and how we can decommoditify our product portfolio.
Multiple things. So, primarily we all have to believe that in today's time, everything is commodity. even the airplanes. Like there are, I don't know whether you are aware, but there are 117 different airplane manufacturers in the world, starting from Boeing, Airbus, and going to the smallest of the one. So the aircraft, which is one of the most technically sophisticated products, is also manufactured by more than 100 companies all over the world. The point remains, it's not about whether it is commodity or a not commodity. It remains how sustainably the product is going to be there and how interestingly the need is getting addressed. So what you have to see is what needs MB is addressing. So one, primary business of bulk packaging, we are addressing the need of a global movement of material, which is unparalleled whether today or from 50 years from tomorrow. Bulk packaging or the global movement of material or things is always going to happen, and we are a part of that. Now if somebody might use a polymer based bulk packaging, or somebody might use a paper or a glass or say gold, so we are married to that need of bulk packaging, so we are going to take care of that. Another product what we are doing is water. So we all are aware that, I don't have to explain you how important it is, water is, and how important the storage is. So by creating that pond lining, what we have created is the lowest cost water reservoir. It is 1 paisa per year per liter is the cost of water reservoir we have created. And the storage of water, because of a very erratic weather patterns, rainfall and other, how important it is, I don't have to spell it to anyone. So couple of needs are so necessary, and that is one of the reasons why I told you that MB has been consistently growing, and we are married to that growth. We'll ensure that everything grows within that stipulated period, doubles it itself, and doubles the wealth of all of us. And so I don't want to just say that by doing this one special thing, there will be for 3 years nobody will be able to manufacture. But okay, what happens on the 4th year? Everybody will produce it and the prices will crash. So that should not happen. You should choose the right need and you can keep on addressing that. And that is what is our belief at MB. Choose the right need and address it to the level where nobody in the world would be able to create alternative for that. So that is the mantra what we are using, and that would we'll keep on using. So we are not married to that particular product what we produce. We are married to the need which we are addressing in today.
Sir, got that. And sir, the product is one part of differentiation. Sir, we can also have a competitive advantage if our distribution network is superior than the competition, something like what Pidilite has been able to do with carpenters, or some pipe companies have been able to do by developing deep relationships with plumbers. So is there any possibility for us, like in agri side, can we make that kind of distribution so as to achieve an advantage over competition?
Certainly it is, and as Maitali is taking care of the distribution side, especially in Davana, I will let her address this question.
Keshavji, I fully agree with you. I think that Pidilite and companies like Actual and Plimps have set up really good models for this that can certainly be emulated. What we've noticed is that farmers really have a herd mentality when it comes to trust, but that's very limited to their local environment. So if I tell a farmer that, okay, you know, I've done something for a farmer in, let's say, 80 kilometers away from you, he's not likely to believe it, no matter how good the results are. But if you're able to show him ki, okay, aapke gaon mein se kisi ne kiya hai and this is how well it's worked out, then that is something that really helps them understand things quickly. They really trust it, and there's that additional kind of bond and loyalty that they create with the product. So we've been running this initiative for a little bit now, which is called Balwan Kisan, where we are creating demo farmers within villages that we're present in. So any new product that we launch, typically we sell it at cost to these demo farmers. We create a plot of land, and this is something that a lot of seed and pesticide companies have also, like majors like Syngenta, etc., have done in the past. So we give it to them to pilot the product on their land, and then once that's done, we hold a lot of farmer meetings. We bring people from other fields, etc., to show that. And that kind of, it creates this loyalty in the mind of the farmer where if they're asking, let's say, for mulch film, they don't just go to the counter or the retail counter and say mulch film, though. They say Avana ka mulch film chahiye, because they've seen the product, they've seen that it does well. And in terms of the distribution network, like you mentioned, it also creates that demand which is coming from the ground. So the distributor or the retailer is likely to buy more and buy at a better price because we are not pushing the product to him. There's a pull for the product which is coming from the market. So I think there is definitely going to, it's going to take some time to create the kind of brand that Pidilite has created. But I think that if we're on this path, like you said, that it's a promising one for sure.
Sure, ma'am. And lastly, just one thing that do we have any plans of maybe exiting some of the product lines to reduce our inventory and to focus more on the highly profitable segment?
I think right now we aren't looking at a plan to exit some of the, like, I think what you're saying is essentially high inventory days or low margin products. Do we have a plan to exit those products? Currently, we are not looking to exit any of the product streams that we are in because we do believe that in plastic, volume also presents a really important metric to bring the overall margin up. And currently, as we're growing and as we've seen that our capacity utilization has gone up to 90, we are seeing the improvements in margins come from those things as well. So I think immediately there is no plan like that. However, like I was saying earlier, I think to a question we were talking about bags like Reclaim 30, etc. So with things like that, where if there is a market which is demanding more, for example, a recycled product or a product with better bio properties, and we're seeing that without sacrificing any sale, we're able to switch into a higher margin product, then we certainly want to do that.
Sure, ma'am. And lastly, ma'am, one more thing, like it was mentioned that our capacities are fungible between domestic and export. So does that also mean that our agri capacities can be used for bulk packaging and vice versa?
Yeah, it's completely fungible. All of our capacities can be used across the board. We are also now starting to develop a pond lining distribution in the US. So that's something that we're focusing on in the next 2-year plan or so, is trying to sell our pond lining outside of India as well. So that machinery, even for selling pond lining, will become viable. But even currently, like if you just understand the process, then pond liner is basically fabric, right? It's basically large fabric. And then when you have these FIBC bags, which is what we export, we take that fabric and we make bags out of it. So if we want to change that Avana demand into, let's say, the Avana machinery into export machinery, basically you're taking that fabric and you're adding some bag making to it, and then you can export that. So the capacity is fungible, to answer your question.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, on behalf of MP Industries Limited and KR Sofi Research, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.